Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Draft starts tomorrow. Panthers can nap through it, maybe, and join us on Friday, Hurricanes Game 3 of their Eastern Conference quarterfinal series with the Islanders. Tomorrow should be rip-roaring at UBS Arena. Let's talk a little bit about college stuff, if you will. We'll see where we can go with Chip Patterson, my friend, CBSSports.com, Cover 3 podcast moderator. And the new episode, I just saw, it hit, because I'm a subscriber and a listener, it just hit, it dropped. And some of the things in there are some of the things we will discuss today. So let's, first of all, thank you very much. How are you, sir?
I'm good. You know, I didn't include this in my response over text, but yes, many of the things that you were kicking around, I am absolutely locked in on. I did not give you any response to the golf because I love unplugging during the Zurich. You know, I go so hard in the run up to Augusta, and you know, and then we've got Harbor Town right after, yeah, which is an elevated event. Which, and especially this year with Scotty, kind of adds to it all. That like, it is just mentally freeing for me to just eject.
Yeah.
For me to eject like Brendan Todd did on the back nine on Sunday, as he was sitting there at Harbor Town going bogey double, bogey double, bogey double.
Ouch.
You know, I kind of just let it go for about a week, and then I'll come back to golf and on the other side.
I do commercials for FanDuel, and I record them before the show because that's the way it has to be done. So I had a golf commercial today. Scottie Scheffler's not playing this week, so bet golf
anybody
at your own at your own risk. Anybody can win because right now we're in a world where is Scottie playing? Well, I could bet on somebody in the top five. I can't bet on anybody else to win because if Scotty wants to, apparently Scotty is going to. We'll get to that maybe if we've got time. I want to start with that that Ross Dellinger piece real quick because we never know what the I think we knew what the intent was when the alliance formed. I have to say it that way because it just sounds better. When the ACC, the Big Ten, interestingly enough, and the Big 12 decided to pump the brakes in reaction to the SEC adding Texas and Oklahoma. Everybody was mad. Like, how are you guys doing this? Right? You don't need Texas and Oklahoma. They didn't. But, you know, when Texas and Oklahoma knock on your door and say, hey, can we join your club? You went, Texas and Oklahoma? Yeah, of course. Look how much more money it means to us. Not you, Oklahoma. You're just in the sidecar. Texas is bringing the money. But when they added, that made the ACC, the Big Ten, and the Big 12 mad. Of course, it was a subtraction from the Big 12. But when they decided to pump the brakes on the playoff, who knew that it would have such financial, and not to mention structural, ramifications to today? When you read the piece, and you may have thought this anyway, I hadn't thought about it, but what were your thoughts on it?
You know, when I thought about all this was when Florida State got left out of the playoff, because the initial time that Greg Sankey brought the 12-team model, basically the exact 12-team model that we were going to have in the 2024 season, when he brought it, it was going to be ready to be in place for last season.
Right.
But the alliance formed, and the alliance asked for 1 year wholesale review. Holistic,
right.
A one-year holistic review with chakra stones and breathing meditations of college football. And if everyone had just gone forward with the initial path, two things would have happened. Number one, Florida State would have been in the college football playoff as a top four seed.
Yep.
And number two, we might not have had some of the same venom that's gone in, that has been the context,
yep,
of every negotiation that's happened since then. We would have already been there.
Yep.
The Pac-12 would still be together. It is one of the wildest turns in college athletics that the refusal to expand the college football playoff at a meeting on the weekend of a national championship week game has had all of this kind of fallout. But college sports is an emotional thing for fans, and it's an emotional thing for the ones who run it. And those are some of my big takeaways coming out of the all the revelations that came out of
Boston and Greg Sankey, who, I mean, we could debate this all day long, is the de facto commissioner of college football. What he says goes. And this is all due respect to Tony Petitti, even in the Big Ten, right? I think Greg Sankey is basically running the sport.
Right, just because he's been there. I mean, he's got tenure over everybody else in the room. You know, all these other commissioner jobs have changed over. And he has been the bridge from the old guard to the new guard. And the SEC's success during that time has contributed to his position, not just in football, but in all of college sports.
I mean, you and I have talked about the Big Ten is where they are because of finances. It has nothing to do with, I'm not knocking the Big Ten, but it has nothing to do with the on-field product. It's all about gigantic land-grant universities.
Alumni. Money, but the alumni numbers are bananas.
I mean, the SEC schools are bigger by and large, state schools are bigger by and large than all of the ACC state schools, or at least as big, but nothing compares to the size of the schools and the alumni bases of the Big Ten schools. It's almost grotesque how much bigger those schools are than the others. And yeah, that alumni base means all the eyeballs, and that's where the money comes from. But the SEC has done this on the field, and they have done this on the field year in and year out. And I mean, what the ACC wishes they were in basketball, the SEC is in football. And it's been that way since, 2005, right? The funny thing is that the last undefeated team to miss out in a playoff or a BCS title game was Auburn. The one of the great, you couldn't make that up. So anyway, just reading that piece.
Adam Gold here with my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter, Capital Financial Advisory Group. Are most of your clients hands-on, or they just give you their money and let it work for them?
About 90% give the money, and then we meet every year and go through status reports, sure. Have a financial pit stop, making sure everything's fine. It is like a puzzle, Adam, but for the next 10 of you, we'll solve your own retirement puzzle at no cost or obligation.
Call and claim your comprehensive review with Coach Pete and the team, 888-843-0013, or text Adam to 600-700.
Adam Gold is a paid spokesman. Investment advisory services offered by Capital Financial Advisory Group, a North Carolina registered investment advisor.
Greg Sankey said, yeah, this was the best deal you were going to... I'm paraphrasing. This was the best deal you were going to get.
For everyone who's not us.
Right, like, exactly.
This was going to be the most fair revenue distribution. This was going to keep the Pac-12 from splintering. This was going to prevent all the paranoia that has followed the Pac-12 from splintering, where everyone thinks that we're headed to two super conferences and Florida State's trying to sue its way out. Yes, all of that potentially could have been avoided had everyone, all of those conference commissioners, agreed to the deal that was presented that January, 7th, 8th, or 9th, or whatever, at the college football playoff meetings.
Southern Cal and UCLA might still be there. Maybe not, but maybe. And the others probably all would still be there, because there wouldn't be the rats leaving a sinking ship deal. And who knows? I don't know if it would have changed Florida State and Clemson's mindset at all. Maybe not. But it certainly did not help the mindset. Can we, first of all, is there anything else out of that article you think we need to talk about before we celebrate Reggie Bush getting his Heisman back?
No, let's get right to let's get right to Reggie.
Isn't that great? It only took how long? They took Bush's Heisman away, 15 years ago?
The thing that stood out to me, and I got the call for the breaking news. I jumped on CBS Sports HQ right away, and I didn't have a lot of time to process it. And sometimes some of those really raw breaking news appearances end up delivering something where I'm like, that is exactly how I feel. It is so important for college football and fans of the sport for the future to know that Reggie Bush, to not have any confusion about what Reggie Bush did or did not do. And if the Heisman right. Trophy wants to truly be like a Hall of Fame, if the Heisman Trophy is going to be how we remember college football stars, to not have Reggie Bush is a disservice to one of the iconic runs of the 2000s.
Yep.
That you cannot tell the story of college football in the 2000s without talking about Reggie Bush, a player who before social media would go viral. I don't know if the kids know this. We used to send chain emails around forward, 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 forward. You won't believe this Reggie Bush highlight.
Yeah.
And he was part of that era where, look, you and I've discussed this a lot. College football exploded with cable television. And as long mm-hmm. and then when you started to see the ability for not just your regional teams, but teams all over the country for their games to be on television, like that's Pete Carroll USC teams starting to find their feet and starting to take off. And so when the entire country could sit around and watch what Reggie Bush was doing to UNLV on a Saturday or what he was doing to Fresno State in August, like these things both in addition to how great he was and how good those mm-hmm. USC teams were, it is important to the story of the sport that there is no confusion about where Reggie Bush was and what his impact was, because he was a moment in time for college football.
Those Southern Cal teams were incredible. Unbelievable teams. I loved Pete Carroll as a college coach. We know why he went to Seattle. He knew the posse was coming. He got out ahead of it. That's fine. Today's world of college football, I don't know, maybe Carroll stays there and maybe that run goes on for an additional 10 years. Because that was about as fun as college football ever gets to watch that USC team play. What do you make, Chip Patterson, of the group of five potentially bringing in private equity and having their own playoff, which, honestly, they should. I think they absolutely should. We're going to three levels of football anyway, of Division I football, so why not just get out ahead of it?
Okay, number one, let's get private equity away from college football, because I am not involved with private equity. I do not have any intimate relationship with private equity. But my very, very dumb state school, public school understanding is that when things are no longer profitable, they get stripped for parts, and Group of Five football programs are not profitable. So don't get in bed with the guys who strip unprofitable things for parts. But, you know, everyone's got their own ways to go about this. But here's what I do think. And forget the Derek Dooley side of this, because there's no worse sales pitch than, hey, Derek Dooley's got a good idea that's going to save Group of Five football. But the idea of holding your own playoff, you take the pitch, you take the proposal, you write some ideas down, you put them in a folder, and you put them behind the glass. And on the glass, it says, break in case of emergency. And you stay on the gravy train as long as you can. Two reasons for that. Number one, you are inherently devaluing yourself if before the SEC and the Big Ten break away, you break away first.
Okay.
Like you're declaring to the open market, yeah, we're not big time at all. Number two, and I've been pushing this for a long time, the national championship is not important in college football. And I think the college football playoff is not why most fans like college football. And one thing the Group of Five conferences have done over the last 2 to 3 years, it started with the MAC in November forever, but Conference USA does Tuesday and Wednesday games in October now. The Sun Belt has started to do Wednesday night games in both October and November. The American Athletic Conference has taken over that Thursday ESPN slot, which has kind of been avoided by the power conferences as the NFL Thursday package has grown. What's important about college football, what generates conversation and puts you in the spotlight for these Group of Five conferences, is that midweek football. And like you can talk about it being for junkies and degenerates. And yes, but it gets you far more exposure than when you're getting buried on a Saturday. And if you're thinking that you have your own playoff that's going to get buried behind the actual playoff, that right now in the last couple of years, the group of five, if they want to believe that the best thing they've got going for them is their regular season, which is what I think, then don't devalue yourself right off the bat, because there is a spot in the FBS world for group of five football, and it might be midweek football,
right?
But it's at least something that's unique and easier to sell than trying to come up with your own junior playoff.
Rather than engage in a debate about this, because I do think that we're headed for three different levels of football at some point. I've been saying for a long time, I mean, you've heard me say it, I don't know why the ACC didn't say, we're going to plant our flag on Friday night and we're going to play a Friday night game every week during the season. I know what the coaches say, recruiting, I get it. You don't want to do that. There was a time where the ACC said they wouldn't play Tuesday night basketball games because that was high school basketball night, or Thursday, whatever the night was. It was Tuesday night. We're not going to play on Tuesday nights because high school games. I mean, if the ACC had established a Friday night, they're playing more Friday night games now, obviously. Like, that's what they should have done a long time ago, especially when the NFL decided, you know, Thursday night football. The NFL can't stop. I mean, they're taking over anything. They're playing football games on Christmas Day. They would play three games on Christmas Day. I thought the NBA had Christmas Day. When the NFL even takes over New Year's Day when it works out for them. So I've been saying this about the ACC for a long time. Play on Friday nights.
Well,
marquee game Friday night.
You need to get Dr. Jim Phillips to send you a check, because I am pulling it up right now. I've got weeks 1, 4, 5, 6.
They've got a bunch of Friday nights, but no marquee games. Yeah.
I think Virginia Tech Miami's a marquee game.
Well, sure. I mean, that's okay. That's okay. Two programs that used to be good. Right. That's good. Two marquee names. Hey,
buddy, this is ACC football. I don't know what you're asking for. All right. You ask for a marquee game.
Right. That's a good point.
Football in 2023. This ain't 2016 ACC football, right? This ain't 2017 ACC football. This 2023 ACC football. You get your Virginia Tech at Miami and you like it.
Yeah. All right. Let me ask you a couple of draft things. Mm-hmm. All right. Because you didn't do a mock draft, did you? I saw Fornelli did one.
Fornelli always does one.
I know.
He does actual, like, player evaluation. I grind tape. I put together grades. Like, he
must have a lot of time in his hands.
I mean, I'll tell you what he doesn't have is a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old.
Okay.
And that's not a knock on him. That's just comparing, you know, time available in the day.
Right.
Like you and I were talking about the golf, how there's the curve, right?
Yeah.
You play a lot of golf, then you play a little golf, and then when the kids get older, you can start playing a lot of golf again. But I'm in the bottom part of that curve.
Oh, my 15-year-old plays 80 times more golf than I play. It's gross to me. All right. So other than the studs, let me ask you this about the three stud wide receivers, Harrison, Odunze, and Neighbors. Who's the best?
Rome Odunze.
Really?
Yeah. If you wanted to be a bloodlines guy, sure.
Okay.
And like, Marvin Harrison Jr. is so gifted. I do not think that we are talking about tiers within that top three. I do think it's that top three. Then you draw a line. Then you start to get into the rest of the wide receivers. I believe that there is the perfect combination of route running, body control, and just sort of the 50-50 catch. I loved talking to Washington's players covering the Sugar Bowl, their win against Texas, the run leading up to it, then after. And, you know, you hear things from Michael Penix where he says they aren't 50-50 balls when I throw to Rome. You know, like,
right.
I've been a quarterback for 9 years in college football. I'm 32 years old. I understand what a 50-50 ball is. And I'm telling you that after 2 years of throwing to this guy, I can make different throws. And yes, like, Marvin Harrison Jr. did have to, you know, carry a lot of the weight mm-hmm. at times. But man, Washington's run, I mean, do you remember they won 9-1 score games in a row?
Yep.
And so many times there were third downs in those one score games where every single person knew that it was going to Rome, and he still found a way to make a catch. That kind of stuff is special.
Yeah. By the way, that run was why I voted for Michael Penix for the Heisman Trophy. He was my vote. Who's the next best wide receiver after that group?
Give me a name or two. Who else is out there? I can slot them.
Adonai Mitchell. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing his name right.
AD Mitchell or Big Game Mitchell. He made college football playoff catches for both Georgia and Texas. How much more blue blood do you need to get in that?
What about Ladd McConkey?
I would take Ladd McConkey maybe ahead of AD Mitchell. AD Mitchell was a little bit banged up throughout his career. Okay. Much more like gifted overall. He's taller, a little bit faster. But he's, when I call him Big Game AD Mitchell, and I told it to him, his face, you know, because he recognized me from a Georgia playoff run.
Wow.
He was like, I remember you. And so we were laughing about it. And I was like, yeah, you know, I'm just like you. I just show up for the big games.
Very cool.
I think Ladd McConkey is an excellent wide receiver prospect.
Who's better between Keon Coleman and Xavier Leggett?
The South Carolina player? How about this? I think Michigan State Keon Coleman was better than Florida State Keon Coleman.
He ran 4.6 at the combine.
Florida State Keon Coleman had 52.8% of his receiving yards on the season in three different games.
Ooh.
He showed up. He flashed, you saw everything, but then he was banged up, dealing with some injuries, and kind of a non-factor at times elsewhere. But I will take Keon Coleman over Leggett, because again, you go back to a Michigan State offense that, do you remember Jaden Reed? I think he's with the Packers.
Yeah.
He was a wide receiver this past year. They had Jaden Reed on one side and Keon Coleman on the other. Why did Michigan State not win more games? Because of Peyton Thorne at quarterback. So we're fading Auburn in 2023, as long as Peyton Thorne, the same quarterback who couldn't light it up with two NFL wide receivers, is going to be the starter. So yeah, I'm in on Keon Coleman. He's a special athlete.
Who's the best cornerback in the draft?
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants—they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day. You're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Let's see. Give me a couple of names. You know what's really good about...
I can't give you any names.
The really good thing about the position that I've carved out is that I don't know anything about positional value or team needs. Hit me up about a guy. I can tell you about a guy, but I'll tell you what I don't know is what the Jags need.
I know what the Panthers need, but
they need picks. They don't have any.
They do. At least they have three on day two. I would consider trading back. But it might have been Will telling me that, Darren Gant from Panthers.com said that nobody has traded out of the second round, back in the second round, and gotten two day two picks.
Oh, sad. All right, so Terrion Arnold from Alabama, I just saw so much of.
Right.
I'm going to be more... I'm going to lean more his way than Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo. So I'm admitting my bias there and where I might be a little short-sighted. Toledo has more talent than everybody in the MAC. They play B-minus games and still win them. They make me furious for this reason. I wish they were better. But I am definitely in the idea that Terrion Arnold is someone who is like not – out of place if you consider him the best cornerback in this draft.
What do you think of Kool-Aid McKinstry?
Kool-Aid's good. Kool-Aid's been good for a really long time because he was opposite Terrion Arnold.
Right.
Yeah, Kool-Aid McKinstry and Terrion Arnold as like a 1-2 punch with Caleb Downs in the back. Alabama's secondary was incredible. I think Arnold probably looks a little bit more special, but again, like there have been a line of players at Alabama that Saban was willing to throw to the wolves.
Mm.
And that line includes Patrick Surtain. That line includes Minkah Fitzpatrick. And that line also included Kool-Aid McKinstry. So if you just want to talk about somebody who has had it since day one and clearly had the trust of the GOAT, nothing bad to say there about Kool-Aid.
Yeah, the reason I asked about that is because it looks like the way this draft board is going to fall, and we'll close on this, is that for the Panthers, there could be one of the top three or four cornerbacks sitting there at 33. And I think that whether J.C. Horn ever stays healthy or not, I think they need a top cornerback almost as much as they need a top wide receiver. So 33 cornerback, 39 wide receiver, I'd be all over that if I were the Panthers. That's just the way I look at it.
Who does who do they have at wide receiver right now? The Panthers.
You.
Oh no.
Me. Adam Thielen and Deontay Johnson basically are the two wide receivers that I would be comfortable, you know, going to, you know, in your top four in the start of the season. I mean, they could talk about Jonathan Mingo all day long, who looked better at the end of the year than he did at the beginning. But, I mean, I didn't see anything from Jonathan Mingo that said, yeah, this guy's going to be one of your top three wide receivers next year. To me, he's a depth guy as much as anything else. I think they need at least two wide receivers coming out of the draft. So, or at least one wide receiver and one tight end.
Yeah.
Who's the best tight end not named Brock Bowers?
Not named Brock Bowers? Yeah. That's a big drop-off.
A huge drop-off.
That's a huge drop-off. I don't know.
Yeah.
The tackle top-heavy thing is something I'm definitely looking forward to because there's some big boys that have been excellent for a long time that I think are going to be drafted very, very highly. And so I'm always happy to see the big fellas eat.
There you go. Chip Patterson, you're the man. I appreciate your time, and man, I'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Y'all be well.
Are you ready to buy or sell your home? The Jim Allen Group is a nationally recognized and award-winning real estate team in the Triangle, dedicated to providing exceptional service to meet your needs. With the latest insights and expert market knowledge, they'll make your home buying and selling journey as smooth as possible. Don't wait. Head over to jimallen.com and start your next move today. That's jimallen.com. The Jim Allen Group, your partner in real estate.